Why does the Bible compare God's people to sheep instead of lions, tigers, or bears? I would rather be a sleek cheetah than a woolly sheep, wouldn't you? Sheep are not strong and independent creatures. Instead, they are notoriously directionless and defenseless animals. Other animals in the wild kingdom do not fear sheep as fierce predators. Have you ever seen a hyena running scared from a sheep? All in all, sheep are kind of pathetic creatures and entirely dependent upon the shepherd who cares for them. Sheep need a shepherd to lead them. They are also prone to wander away from the protective flock. For these reasons and more, it is quite humbling to think of ourselves as the sheep of God's pasture. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's John 10, verse 11. And this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Hello, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for spending part of your July 4th holiday here with us. Well, what did Jesus mean when he said he is the Good Shepherd? And what is it that makes him good? Answers come your way next as Ron continues his teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd. Visit somethinggoodradio.org to hear any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now from Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron with part two of his Something Good Radio message, Meet the Good Shepherd.
He can also speak to us through wise, godly counsel. Maybe you are in the throes of a decision today. You need some direction. Who do you go to for counsel? Do you stay within your own, sphere of wisdom? That can be a scary thing sometimes, because I don't have all the right answers and all the right direction, let alone know all the right questions. I need wise counsel, but I want to make sure that I'm seeking counsel from somebody who's having a conversation with God every day. Somebody I know who is in the Word of God and praying and having a conversation and walking by the Spirit. That limits the circle of wise counsel I might seek. And then, God sometimes speaks to us through circumstances. He closes this door and opens this door. And we take all of that into consideration. The good shepherd leads his sheep. He knows them by name, and they know his voice. They know his voice. He's the door of direction. All right, got to move on to the latter part of John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, where Jesus shifts in his metaphor from I am the door of the sheep to I am the good shepherd. Let's pick it up in verse 11. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Probably a reference to that time when the church, which started in Acts chapter 2, was made up of Jews and Gentiles. One fold, one flock. For this reason, the Father loves me, he says, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Now, Jesus declared, I am the good shepherd twice in these verses. He did not say, I am the good teacher. He did not say, I am the good miracle worker. He did not say, I am the good moral leader. He did not say, I am the good psychologist. He said, I am the good shepherd. Why? Because we need a shepherd, not a CEO. It's on us to travel back to the ancient places and understand the imagery here, even in our modern world. and to learn from even the sheep under the shepherd's care. And Jesus is not just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. Now, we like to take the word good and say, well, great is better than good. Not from the Jewish perspective. Nobody was good but God from the Jewish perspective. And so when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, what they heard was Jesus declaring himself to be God. And actually, every one of the seven I am statements was a declaration of deity. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world, and so forth. I am the door of the sheep. He said, there's one door to enter into the sheepfold. Later, he would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. These are Jesus's words. And here he says, I am the good shepherd. And there are two words in the Greek language that can be translated good. Agathos refers to the moral quality of something. But Jesus actually uses another term and a broader term here, kalos, which is the word which speaks of intrinsic quality and winsomeness and loveliness. As the good shepherd, I would say Jesus not only possessed a moral quality that was good and intrinsic to his nature, but he also held a quality that made people want to be around him. He had a way of winning friends and influencing people better than Dale Carnegie, who wrote a book about it. He was just that kind of person, a person with a magnanimous presence that filled every place he entered and drew people to him. His winsome personality, his lovely demeanor, he was larger than life because people knew that he was a good person, and many of them sensed that he was God and worshiped him. He said, I am the good shepherd. And all of this begs the question, though, what's so good about the good shepherd? He claimed to be good. What's so good about him? Let me just take our remaining time to highlight a few things that jump off the page at me from John chapter 10. First of all, Jesus, the good shepherd, comes with good intentions. He comes with good intentions as compared to the hireling, or the hired hand, he calls him, who doesn't come with good intentions. There's a difference between a sheep herder and a shepherd. A sheep herder is all about himself. He herds the sheep to his own benefit, driven by purely selfish motives, sometimes driven by money. He's a hired hand. He offers his services out to those that will pay the highest for his service. And because the hireling is in it for himself, he never stands between the sheep and danger. In fact, the hireling, when he sees the wolves coming, he's out of here. He doesn't lay down in the opening of the sheepfold at night and put himself in danger as the last place of defense, but he flees when trouble approaches. And Jesus says pointedly about the hired hand, he cares nothing for the sheep. By way of contrast, Jesus cares. He comes to us with good intentions. Think again of those two spaces, the inner space inside the sheepfold, the inner world that you might keep protected from everybody else because you don't want anybody else to know what's going on in the inner world. Jesus enters that place with good intentions, the best of intentions for you, intentions you can trust. Same thing when he leads us out into the outer world. He does so with good intentions. The problem is, the world is full of people with bad intentions. And as a pastor for a good 30 years, what I've noticed is that some people have a difficult time with faith because they have trust issues. Catherine and I, years ago, were sitting at lunch with somebody in D.C., where we lived previously, and we'd been sharing the gospel with this person for quite some time, and she understood it backwards and forwards. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures to pay the penalty for our sins, all of that. But she was just still having a hard time getting over that threshold. Why? She had trust issues of her own admission. She had met enough people in life who had bad intentions, and they burned her, okay? And sometimes, unfortunately, those people with bad intentions make their way inside a church. We call them wolves in shepherd's clothing. And the worst of the offenders are child predators. We've heard news of that in different places. And it causes tremendous damage, not only to the witness of the gospel in the church, but in the wreckage in people's lives. And maybe that describes you. Maybe in some way, people that you thought were trustworthy and had good intentions betrayed that trust. And you have positioned yourself at arm's length or more from people and even from God. Don't confuse that hurtful experience with Jesus. He is a good shepherd. And he'll enter into any area of our life, whether that's the exterior or the interior, with good intentions. Always with good intentions. The devil and his demons have every bad intention you could possibly imagine for you, your family, your future, your career, your friendships, whatever. The enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. And he's wreaked some havoc in your life and my life and in churches' lives. But Jesus always comes with good intentions. You can trust him. You can put the full weight of your faith on him, and he will never leave you, and he will never disappoint you.
We'll return to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones in just a moment. To listen to any of Ron's messages on demand, please visit somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, be sure to access the Something Good Digital Library with more than 500 hours of video and audio teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Search the streaming library by scripture or topic to find answers to some of life's most challenging questions. That's the Something Good Digital Library at somethinggoodradio.org. Something Good Radio and free resources like the Something Good Digital Library exist only through the faithful prayers and financial support of listeners like you. And today, when you invest $50 or more in the media ministry of Something Good, we have a very special thank you gift we'd like to share with you. Volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Request them today for your gift of $50 or more. When you order the print versions, you'll also get unlimited access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of the book, plus video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. Donate online at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456. You can also call our offices at 757-276-1099. Ron joins me in the studio in just a few moments, so stay with us. But first, let's listen closely as he shares the second half of today's Something Good radio message, Meet the Good Shepherd.
Secondly, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, also leads us to good places. He says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. He's already gotten personal with them and knows them by name. He's not the hireling who's just in it for the transaction and for the paycheck. He has a relationship with his sheep. James Rebanks, in his book, The Shepherd's Life, writes about that unique relationship between himself and his sheep and the other shepherds in the Northern England region there, and how, you know, it's really a strange thing. Some people think just in terms of livestock management and it's transaction-oriented. He says, but no, we have a relationship with our sheep. He says that they all look the same to, you know, the average person out there, but we know their subtle differences and nuances, and we've named them based upon some of their idiosyncrasies. We know them by name. We lead them out. We love our sheep, and we care for them. Isaiah 43 and verse 1, the Lord said to Israel, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Those are heartfelt, personal words from the Lord himself. In Psalm 23, David describes his good shepherd as leading him to good places, beside still waters, to green pastures. Also, in paths of righteousness, he says. He leads me in paths of righteousness to the right place at the right time, if we'll just follow him. David also says, and we'll get there in weeks to come, the Lord, our good shepherd, leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, sometimes to get from here to here, you got to go through the valley. And there are dark times and troubled times and difficult times. The key to this phrase in Psalm 23 is that little word through. I'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death, as if to say, I'll get you through this, whatever this is. Whatever this you're going through right now that seems like the midnight hour in a dark, dark place, your good shepherd who comes with good intentions will lead you to good places, even though what you're going through right now doesn't seem anywhere close to the definition of good. But he'll get you through this, through the valley of the shadow of death, if you choose to lead, let him lead you and follow him. And finally, Jesus, the good shepherd, gives his good life for the sheep. We could go back to John chapter 10 and circle two or three times where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. The hired hand doesn't do that. The wolf in shepherd's clothing who's in it for the livestock transaction doesn't do that. He ain't even going to put his life in any danger for the sheep. But Jesus said, one of the reasons I'm the good shepherd is I take my good life and I lay it down for the sheep. Obviously a reference to the time that he went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. Who does that but our good shepherd? And because he laid down his life for the sheep, he is uniquely qualified to be our good shepherd, uniquely qualified to receive the full weight of our faith and our trust in him. And do you remember what he said there in John chapter 10? He says, I lay down my own life. Nobody will take it from me. You know, some people say, oh, poor Jesus, that story about a good man, this rabbi in Galilee, they got on the wrong side of religious politics and ended up on a Roman cross. No. That's not the story there. He laid down his life. He says, I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to pick it up again. He could have called a legion of angels to stop everything that was happening in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and put a stop to that crucifixion stuff. But that was part of the Father's plan. Why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way, but he has laid upon him, the good shepherd here, the iniquity of us all. It was through the cross of Christ and his willingness to lay down his own life that the penalty for your sin and my sin was paid for in full. And that the God who created us in his image could be both loving and just at the same time. To love us enough to give us his only begotten son, to lay down his life for us, but also to be just in that sin's penalty was paid for. Sin is a serious thing to a righteous and holy God. And Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. What's your response to that? You just shrug your shoulders in indifference, or you come to the cross of Christ as a humble sinner who needs a Savior and a good shepherd like Jesus? James Rebanks in Northern England, we might say the family business for generations, has been shepherding. We could also say that about our Heavenly Father, that our Heavenly Father's family business is shepherding. Don't try to update the imagery. No, travel back in time. Go to those remote places, those quiet, pastoral, even poetic places, and learn from this. It's the Father's business, shepherding is. And His Son and our Savior laid down His life for the sheep and said, I am the Good Shepherd. You can trust me. Place your faith and trust in Him today.
Thanks for being here for today's Something Good radio message, Meet the Good Shepherd. Dr. Ron Jones joins me, and Ron, let's go back to this idea of people having trust issues. I know you'd like to expound on that because it's such a real and often heartbreaking issue for so many people out there.
It absolutely is, Brian. Truth is, we all have trust issues, some more than others, but all of us have some. But let me say something right off the bat that might surprise some of our listeners. You know, you can read the Bible from cover to cover, and you'll never see God or read about God requiring us to trust people, not even one single time. It will say, love God and trust God and worship God and fear God. It will instruct us to love people and be kind to people, to honor our parents. But the Bible says nothing about trusting people. Now, it's true, there are some biographical passages that talk about relationships in which there were both mutual love and trust. David and Jonathan, the friendship they forged is a great example of this. But again, those are descriptive in nature. When it comes to prescriptive theology, that is those parts of God's Word that instruct us as to what to believe and how to live, well, we are told to put our faith and trust in God, not in people. It's heartbreaking to hear stories like the one I shared today, stories of trust getting violated in such a horrible and devastating way, because as children, we have an inherent trust in our parents and in people in general. So it's understandable that many people grow up to have severe and seemingly irreversible trust issues as a result of their childhood experiences. That's why it's such good news that God never asks us to trust people in the first place. It's such a liberating revelation because it means that now, as adults, we can direct our trust to the only person we're told to trust, that is Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. So, Brian, I have two words of encouragement to share with anyone having trust issues. First, put your faith in the Good Shepherd, not in anyone or anything else. Return to that childlike faith you once had and direct it only to Him, because that's the kind of faith He wants you to have in Him. And that leads me to the second word of encouragement. The reason you can have that kind of faith in Him, regardless of your past, is because that kind of faith is a gift from God Himself to anyone who asks for it. Faith and trust are not our gifts to God. They're His gifts to us.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with some great final thoughts from today's message, Meet the Good Shepherd. So before we go, Ron, how about telling us what's in store for us tomorrow as you continue your teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd?
Well, Brian, the past couple of days have been a bit of a setup for everything that comes next. This series is about Psalm 23, but I started in John chapter 10 because that's where Jesus called Himself the Good Shepherd. I didn't want to jump right into Psalm 23 until I gave listeners a little context. So next time we'll get into Psalm 23, which begins with these five words, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is one of the most beloved chapters in all the Bible. It's only six verses, well under 300 words, but it contains a lifetime of wisdom and beauty. And so we're going to spend almost a month exploring this short Psalm of David. And it begins with my message, Satisfaction Guaranteed.
That's tomorrow when Dr. Ron Jones continues his teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis, saying Happy 4th of July, and thanks for listening.